The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, it is. And it's a transition! Yeah! It all happened shortly after I left the air last night. So we're on live from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And so I finished the show, 6 o'clock, you know, plugging right along. I had noticed something on Twitter that said, you know, Trump is digging in his heels and Emily, whatever her name is, Murphy, over at the GSA, refused to the Congress's invitation, as it were, to show up today to testify. And they said they'll hold the whole day open for her. Just come in and talk to us, answer questions. And the last thing I saw right after I got off the air was she said no, she would not show up today. And no one would be available until, I think, Monday of next week. And then all of a sudden I hear David going, hey, did you hear they gave in? It's like they did what? So a total 180. And she wrote this letter to Joe Biden. Oh, my God. I should read it to you. You know what? There's a couple of things. I am so out of sorts today. I have two things to read to you. And now I don't know what I did with either one of them. But let me share this. If I can find it, the letter that she wrote was so ridiculous. Letter to Biden. In it, she said, well, here, I got it right here. All right. So here's the letter. I don't know. Do I want to read it? Yeah, it's not that long. She writes, Dear Mr. Biden, as the administrator of the U.S. General Services Administration, I have the ability under the Presidential Transition Act of 1963, as amended, to make certain post-election resources and services available to assist in the event of a presidential transition. See 3 U.S.C. Section 102, note the act. I take this role seriously, and because of recent developments involving legal challenges and certifications of election results, am transmitting this letter today to make those resources and services available to you. And then she continued, I have dedicated much of my adult life to public service, and I've always strived to do what is right. Please know that I came to my decision independently. I can't help it. Independently, yes, based on the law and available facts. I was never directly or indirectly pressured by any executive branch official. Sorry, it works better with this, with the laugh track, including those who work at the White House or GSA. With regard to the substance or timing of my decision, to be clear, I did not receive any direction to delay my determination. I did, however, receive threats online. Oh, come on. By phone and by mail directed at my safety, my family, my staff, and even my pets in an effort to coerce me into making this determination prematurely. Even in the face of thousands of threats, I always remained committed to upholding the law. Sorry, I'm doing my Kimberly Guilfoyle imitation there. Contrary to media reports and insinuation, my decision was not made out of fear or favoritism. Instead, I strongly believe, you know what, enough of this, because that is just grade A.
Bullshit.
Yeah, that she didn't have any influence from anybody at the executive branch. Come on. Yeah, because you are just a high-level decision maker, Miss Emily, whatever the hell your name is. So that happened. Yeah. So the transition is on. And then today there was such weirdness. Not that you expect anything different, but oh my God. So the stock market, on the news of the transition and the early names that Joe Biden has put out there for staff and cabinet posts, he has already released the names of his national security team. The stock market, go figure, is reacting positively. So who takes credit for it? Donald Trump, of course. So he comes into the James Brady briefing room and delivers a statement, again, read as if he's a third grader reading the book report somebody else wrote for him for the first time. And it is such, and I didn't even record it. So I'm not going to bombard you, you know, assault your ears with his voice, but something to the effect of, this is unheralded. This is all new. And it's our administration. And we broke the 30,000 mark for the first time. And we did it. No, you didn't do that. The stock market rose on good news. And the good news is that the adults are coming back, that responsible people will be in charge, that Joe Biden is trying to work with all sides of the Democratic Party, and go figure, even people in the Republican seats across the aisle. Yeah, he's an adult. And go figure, he's bringing in people who know what they're doing, like career professionals who understand, from the State Department to the United Nations and climate and everything in between. What a concept. And so the stock market, the business, the corporate community is reacting well because, well, because there are adults in the room. So here's, let me see if I can't, what happened? Why can't I bring this over here? That is weird. Okay, my computer's doing weird things. Okay, so let me share this with you. He announced, obviously, Ron Klain is his White House chief of staff. He did that last week. And last night, we learned that former Fed chair Janet Yellen will be his Treasury secretary, the first woman to run the Treasury Department as Treasury secretary. Janet Yellen's an economist. She would also be the first person ever to serve as the leader of the Treasury, the Fed, because that's what she was doing in the end of the Obama administration, the beginning of the Trump administration, too. She was the Fed chair and the White House Council of Economic Advisors. And so what Joe Biden then announced was his the key members of his national security staff. Here, I'll let a professional give you that info.
Alejandro Mayorkas, who would become the first Latino to run the Department of Homeland Security, the agency tasked with the nation's immigration policy. Avril Haines, a former deputy CIA director, who would become the first woman to lead the nation's intelligence community as director of national intelligence. And John Kerry, the longtime senator and former secretary of state, to serve as an international climate czar, a new post underscoring Biden's commitment to fighting climate change. The president-elect is wasting no time filling his team, expediting his announcements, in part, CNN has learned, because President Trump is still seeking to sabotage the outcome. Biden making clear again today he is surrounding himself with experienced hands, many of whom he's worked with for years in the Senate and White House.
And now, on a personal note, it gives me particular pleasure to introduce a man who has been my mentor, my partner, my friend, and the greatest public servant I know, the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden.
That's Tony Blinken.
There you go.
A longtime advisor, now to be nominated as Secretary of State. Jake Sullivan, another longtime aide, to be named as National Security Advisor. And Linda Thomas Greenfield, a veteran Foreign Service officer who served in posts around the world, to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Through the announcements, Biden is seeking to send the world a message that he intends to prioritize rebuilding America's frayed alliances.
All right. And it went on from there. And next week, we'll hear more. But so far, so good. I had a discussion a little while ago, actually taped something for tomorrow's show with Adam Green, who's the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. And, you know, he is one of us. He's progressive. He, the PCCC, you know, boldprogressives.org, they were firmly in the Elizabeth Warren camp. But actually, he's feeling pretty good about these picks, about Janet Yellen saying, you know what, Joe Biden said he was going to choose someone for Treasury Secretary who Democrats on all sides of the Democratic Party will be okay with. And that's the reaction that I've heard to Janet Yellen. You know, in terms of the new Secretary of State, again, a name that I wasn't familiar with, but we are now trying to find, damn it, I can't find it now. But Pramila Jayapal, who I totally respect, and she comes with real progressive bona fides, and is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. And hopefully in the next Congress, she will be the chair of the Progressive Caucus. She sung his praises. She said this is a great choice. And I'll defer to her because she certainly knows more than I do. Okay, so it is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We're calling it Transition Tuesday because we're transitioning now. And I got a very nice offer from a listener who wants to remain anonymous. But let me run this by you. As you may know, during this pandemic, I've taken up a bunch of different hobbies, so to speak. I told you about the cooking. I need to update the recipe section that I posted on the website because I really haven't lately. And oh my God, do I make a great hummus. So I'll put the hummus recipe up there because it's good and it's easy. And, you know, you can, I was going to say, bring it to your Thanksgiving dinner, but you're not going anywhere for Thanksgiving, right? But you can have it at home. Anyway, so there's that. But I've also been painting. And so when I paint something, then I share the pictures on, you know, Facebook and Twitter. And the response has been great. And I'm very flattered. I don't have any illusions that I'm some great artist. Certainly, I can't draw a person. I can't draw an animal. What I've found that I'm good at is painting sunsets over the water and flowers and things like that. So while I'm telling you this, I'll show you, if you're watching on one of the video streams, some of my artwork. So like the one that's up on the screen now, I called that. I did this like Stairway to Heaven. I called it first. And somebody wanted it. A listener wanted it. And so what I did is I made these available. I'm not selling them because I don't want to be in the business of selling goods or pictures or anything else and collecting sales tax and that stuff. But so I'm making them available if anybody wants one of these pieces of art for a $25 or higher donation to the show. You could do it at NicoleSandler.com. And all the paintings are featured on a web page on the website. You can get there directly at NicoleSandler.com/pandemic-painting. Or you can just go to the NicoleSandler.com and you'll see it on the navigation bar. But anyway, these are some of my lovely paintings. Well, one of our regulars, a listener who's been with us for a long time, said, you know, I'd love to help you get these out. So if listeners want a painting and maybe they, you know, they can't afford the $25 right now, she sent me a donation to cover four of them. So for listeners who maybe want one, but, you know, don't have the money to spare right now. So go to the pandemic painting page at NicoleSandler.com. Have a look around. They're not all still available because some have been taken already. And if you see one you want, you know, from the ones you ask me, I'll choose four at random and send them out courtesy of our friend. She asked to remain anonymous, so I'm not even going to say her name. So here's just some of them, just to give you an idea of what they look like. And if you're listening, obviously you have to go to NicoleSandler.com and click on the pandemic painting thing, so you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you want one, great. Actually, I'm excited that now it's so funny because True Tech in the YouTube chat room said it looks like you were kidnapped by Bob Ross. I got to be honest, I never heard of Bob Ross until my kid told me about him. And I've not done any of his tutorials yet, but I plan to do one this weekend because she said one of his looked like one of mine, or one of mine looked like one of his. Anyway, it keeps me busy. It gives me something to think about other than politics and all that stuff. And now I have gifts that I can give people for the holidays. So anyway, hi, who's this on the phone calling from 917? Who's this?
Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
This is Michael.
Michael from the Bronx. Oh, my goodness. Michael from the Bronx. How you doing?
Surprise, surprise, and happy early holidays.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. It's been a long time since I heard from you. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there and still keeping my eyes and ears open to Trump and company's continual bullshit. That's all I can say. But let me just say this regarding the election fraud that's coming from them, not from us, but from them. Uh-huh. And we've seen how the courts have been tossing it out. You know, I'm heard that there should be criminal lawsuits brought against Trump and these, you know, some of these lawyers, especially Rudy Giuliani, are wasting court's time, taxpayers' money, wasting that as well, and you've got no case. It's amazing how they're going to pander to the court of public opinion, saying there's fraud this or fraud that, but then they go inside the court and they're not even arguing that because they know damn well they can't argue that shit in front of a judge and be committing perjury. And then you see how Rudy Giuliani is sweating down. I thought he was leaking motor oil from his head if you saw that.
Yeah, it's like the scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz with the oil can. It's the oil leaking out from the gears in his head.
I don't know if you heard, but a New Jersey lawmaker is calling for Rudy to be disbarred. And it's going to be interesting as to what kind of a law license does he have, because even the most amateur lawyers don't do the crap that he does. And Lindsey Graham, he ought to be removed from his Senate seat for the shit that he pulled.
I agree.
With Georgia.
Yeah, and he's doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
And it makes me wonder, if he's going to do that with Georgia, it calls to question how legitimate the outcome in South Carolina was. I'm wondering if Jamie Harrison actually won, and then some kind of shenanigans going on, flipping into Lindsey Graham.
I don't know. I think this has been a fairly safe election, actually. You know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to be speaking with Ari Berman. Ari Berman, you know, who wrote the book on election law, on voter suppression, on everything else. Give Us the Ballot, I think, is the name of his book. He writes for Mother Jones these days. I'll ask him about that. Everything that I've heard is that this was the most secure election we've had in, like, forever, probably. But I'll ask Ari about that. He'll be on the show tomorrow.
Well, Wayne, I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. And if anybody wants a little bit of a game going on, now I'm a very musical person, as I think I told you before. And I have a game going on with some of my friends here in the Bronx. And we came up with name a song that may be applicable and befitting to Donald Trump. Be sure to name the song and the artist. And we came up with all sorts of stuff.
Oh, easy. Like, Loser.
Jack. Loser. Ray Charles.
Right. Loser by Beck. I'm a Loser by the Beatles.
Yep. Yeah. It's Over Now from Luther Vandross.
Okay. Gotcha.
And, oh, I forgot which other ones I had come with. Oh, You're So Vain from Carly Simon.
Yes, that works too. All right, Michael.
You see how funny that can get, right?
Yep. Gotcha. All right, Michael, it's great to hear from you. Stay in touch. I'm going to run because we got stuff to do.
Stay safe.
Thank you. You too. Stay safe in the Bronx. Bye-bye. That's our Michael S.W. from the Bronx. He goes back to the Air America days. He's been around for a long time. But on this show, I don't take a whole lot of calls, so I hadn't heard from him in a while. All right. We got a laugh coming up. I haven't played a funny in a couple of days. And you know what? Our pal Lauren Mayer has one. So let's hear from her. And we'll come back with Gotta Laugh in just a couple of minutes. It is the Nicole Sandler Show. It's Transition Tuesday, everybody. We'll be right back. Take it away, Lauren.
But it's not over till the distribution stuff gets figured out. Vaccines. Though it's looking good with a couple of these, we still need precautions. Press releases won't end the disease. Vaccines. We still have to put a mask on our face. Vaccines. Those 6 feet of space. Vaccine. Put on the mask now. Vaccine. You already know how. Vaccine. Vaccinations are now. Vaccine. Stop having such a cow. You have to put on the mask now. Oh. not surprising that cases are still rising when our national strategy is just pushing herd immunity. And though a lot of bunkle probably come from your crazy uncle, do we have to tell you again till you get it through your head? Vaccines. There are still a lot of obstacles, you know, with vaccines, which have to be shipped carefully and stored at 70 below. So yeah, you still have to put on the mask, please. How do we defeat this disease? Ignore those conspiracies and just put on the mask, please. Put on the damn mask. It's not that much to ask. Till they complete each logistics task, you still have to put on your damn mask.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet. But their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
With Carla Lapp on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, and Lauren Mayer with the vaccine song and the intro to Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show. Sorry, I get carried away sometimes. Hi, Gotta. Oh, sorry. We got to get laughing on the line first.
I'm because we've screwing everything up.
No. let me push some buttons. Hello.
You reached the 56 more days hotline.
56 more days hotline. Yeah, actually, we have a countdown clock now at NicoleSandler.com on the main page and on the Listen Live page right below the chat. 56 days, 18 hours, 47 minutes. 47 minutes, 22 seconds, 21 seconds, 20 seconds.
Oh, you know what? On the live chat page, we're like 2 minutes off.
Really? Because that's what I'm looking at. 56 days, 18 hours, 47 minutes, 10 seconds.
That's weird.
I mean, you have a different numbers on your.
I have a different one. My computer's slow.
Now it says 39 minutes. I just refreshed. So it's 56.
I have to refresh. That's why 50, I have 48 minutes.
56 days, 18 hours, 39 minutes, 12 seconds. Because that's actually counting down to 12:03 on the afternoon of January 20th, which is what time Joe Biden will be sworn in as president.
Thank God. Thank God. Anyway.
Hello.
Anyway. Press one if you think Rudy Giuliani's disgusting hair dye drip was really hard to watch because he's usually such an attractive guy.
Sorry.
Oh, press two if you think Trump is losing election lawsuits faster than his supporters are losing teeth.
Yeah.
Press three if you think we've gone from Paul McCartney singing to Michelle Obama in the White House to Michael Cohen singing like a canary on Capitol Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Big difference.
Big difference. I got to play something for you. Okay. And for those of you watching video, this is something to see. So you know how for the last 2.5 weeks, Rudy Giuliani has been playing along with Donald Trump's fantasy world that, the election was a fraud, it was stolen, playing these games. Yeah. Well, I found this video from 1989 when Rudy Giuliani lost his bid to be mayor of New York City. Ooh. He was beaten. And here is some news footage from the night he was beaten, and listen to how he accepted defeat. Then it's a shocker, I tell you.
Dinkins' opponent Rudolph Giuliani was also talking about and pleading for unity as he gave his concession speech.
It's very important for the future of our city that we all come together, and I want you to show that spirit. Now do it. All right.
All right. So now do it. I want you to show that spirit. Now do it. Who was that guy? Oh, I brought you down. Oh, there you are.
He had a lot more hair than
it was
Deborah
dark.
Norville?
That was Deborah Norville.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't stand it. Oh, yeah. Did you watch the Seinfeld episode that Rudy's on?
I don't remember it. What did he do?
Oh, they had him on. It was just for a second. I can't even remember what he said, but he played along with the episode a little bit, and it was about his cholesterol levels. And they mixed up. There was a yogurt shop, and they claimed to be low fat or something, and everybody was getting fat. So Jerry and the gang were suspicious, and they took it to
that
a lab.
I remember that part.
Him.
I remember. I don't remember Giuliani, but I remember that storyline.
Anyway, that's so beside the point, but. Yeah, the dripping, what was it?
Shoe polish.
Water oil down his face.
Yes, I think it was shoe polish. I think he didn't spray, because hair dye doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't.
Right? So I think he put, shoe polish in his hair to darken it a little bit.
Or maybe it was mascara that
Or
runs.
Mascara. Something
what an idiot.
Like that.
I mean, really, who does it? That's so stupid. Anybody knows you don't do that. Anybody, he dyes his hair, so you should know. Oh, God. I mean, the stupidity, the court cases, I have a tweet about
56
that,
days, 18 hours, 35 minutes, 41
wait.
Seconds.
I cannot wait. I mean, we had talked earlier, and right now I'm in the frame of mind of just enjoying Biden's win, enjoying the normal people he's putting up for nomination and in his cabinet. And I know there's a lot of criticism of a couple of them, and I tend to agree with it, but I'm not doing that right now. Right now I'm in my happy place, and I'm going to stay in my happy place as long as I can, because Trump's going to wreck it any minute now, doing something horrible. He's already done the
things that he did today. First of all, his little 62-second not press conference.
That was insane.
Oh, my God. He goes up there. He reads the thing written for him, taking credit for the stock market, which had nothing to do with it. Yeah, it's that he lost that the stock market's going up. And then apparently he did the turkey pardoning thing and did the same thing.
Oh, he did. I missed that completely. Oh, I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either. I read about it after the fact.
Yeah. Oh, I had another one in my head and it just flew out. Oh, well, that's the kind of... That's my brain these days. I was worried. Oh, no, I know what it was.
Yeah.
It was the fly that he's replacing the planes that do the flyovers. I forgot what they're called.
Yes. What's it called? The Friendly Skies Treaty or something that we're in. He pulled out of that treaty that allows us open skies, something like that. I know. I actually saw the segment with Rachel Maddow last night.
Yes.
When
that's
they're
exactly
destroying
what I was gonna
say. These airplanes so that Joe Biden can't put this program that's been in effect for decades to help protect our allies. They're like reconnaissance planes. They do surveillance.
And they're special, like you said, specially equipped. You can't just run out and replace them. You have to rebuild from scratch. And he could have just ended the program and done it out of spite, but no, he's destroying, or as he called it, liquidating the planes.
Yeah. It's like they did with those sorting machines at the post office.
Yes,
they want
exactly.
the post office to be less efficient. So not only did they decommission them, they disassembled them. They took them apart. And that's what they're doing with these airplanes, too.
Right. Right.
We need some new laws in place that the minute an election happens, that some of the privileges, I guess, of the presidency are suspended, because this guy wants to leave a scorched earth behind him. This is scorched earth practice or theory in practice.
You're reciting every tweet I've been.
Oh, how funny.
I mean, it really sounds like, I mean, I can see myself typing those words because I did. And I've been saying we need to codify the norms.
Yep.
We need to put those norms into law. And the trouble is, unless we win the Senate, they ain't going to happen.
I know. That's why Georgia is so important. So important. There was something came into my, speaking of tweets, my Twitter stream this morning that, that I retweeted because I thought it was a good idea. Lachlan Marquet from Daily Beast wrote, a Roger Stone-linked super PAC that's been largely dormant since Trump was elected has kicked back into gear with an effort to get Republicans to write in Trump in both Georgia Senate runoffs. Someone named Max Kennedy retweeted that and said, never thought I'd say this, but I agree with Roger Stone. If you're a Trump supporter in Georgia, a real Trump supporter, and not just some rhino loser, you should write in Trump's name in the upcoming Senate runoff.
Please do.
Yeah, what a great idea. That's how you show your support for Donald.
Yeah. I think you should. I think if they can write, I think they should write.
Without a doubt.
Donald Trump. Is that with a T?
Yeah. And someone wrote back to me, I hope that DSCC won't send out a mailer with that idea. The last thing anybody needs is Trump being a write-in for both Senate seats. He would not. He can't win as a write-in candidate. He doesn't live. He can't win. He couldn't garner enough votes. Even if he could legally.
Live in the state.
Exactly. So, and he's not a candidate. He can't win no matter what. So, yes. Right. And I know David Dinkins died today. Well, a couple of people have alerted me to that. He did. He was 93 years old. Former mayor of New York.
Yeah.
Okay. He died. People died.
Yes. We're sorry about that.
Yeah.
Let's have a moment of silence. Okay.
Okay.
would you like to do some tweets?
Okay. Oh, we can do that.
We're awful. You know that you and I are just awful, right?
Let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet fest.
All right. So what are the Twitters all a Twitter about today? Got a laugh?
I'm going to apologize for making fun of death. I feel bad that he died. And I do. And I tweeted it first thing this morning.
Yeah. You know,
in that mood.
He's 93 years old. He didn't die under nefarious circumstances or even from the COVID. I think he just died. And his wife, his late wife, only died a few weeks ago and she was 89. So they're together.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Good. Aww. That's fine. That's the circle of life.
But I mean, you know, it happened overnight, as I recall, because when I tweeted it this morning, I looked and the news reports had come out. The news alerts had come out earlier by hours and hours. Mm. So it's not new news. It's relatively new news.
Right.
And I'm in the frame of mind of just screw everything. I'm so relieved right now.
I
just don't care. I want to say anything I feel like saying and do anything I feel like doing. And until Trump does another horrific act, and then I'm going to be crying. But okay, here's something. All right.
Okay.
Speaking of the weird briefing room stint that Trump did to congratulate himself on the Dow, which had nothing to do with him, Justin Sink of the Bloomberg said, overheard in the briefing room, that was weird as shit. And then Ricky Davila says, were they asleep for 4 years? Of course it was weird. That's what he does. He's weird.
It's amazing. You know, it is amazing. And because it was only 62 seconds, I thought I should pull the audio for this and play it. And then I thought, that's 62 seconds too much of Trump's voice.
Yeah, don't need to. He didn't say anything of any worth at all. He just bragged about the stock market and he talked a little bit about the vaccine.
Right. And like, what did he expect everyone to go, oh, yes, you, Mr. God, Donald Trump, you made the stock market explode. And by the way, nice for people who have money in the stock market, which is about, I don't know what the number is, but it's a fraction.
That's coming up.
That's coming up. Mines thing today.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. And the other thing was, this is not in my tweets, he referred to the 30,000 number as sacred.
Yes, he did. That was the word he used. I couldn't think of it because why would I ever think a number of the stock market level is sacred?
Let us bow to the altar of greedism.
Yes.
Because greedism is how we live.
Greed is good.
Greed is good. Mr. Gecko. I wish I had an echo chamber option on my mic and I would go, greed is good, good, good.
Yeah.
You do, though.
I probably do somewhere. Not offhand. Yeah.
Speaking of the 30,000 number, Ivanka Trump, she tweeted this and then Tim O'Brien had a comment about it.
Uh-huh.
She tweeted, Dow Jones Industrial Average hits 30,000 for the first time ever. Congratulations, America. And Tim O'Brien said, not clear if Ivanka understands that this rally is because her father is leaving office and better public health and economic leadership is settling in. Not sure she knows that.
No, there's all kinds of like stories out there about what's awaiting Jarvanka when they return to New York.
Oh, God. Jarvanka, go away. Oh, here's another one from Ivanka.
Okay.
Fact. Greenhouse gases generated by the U.S. will slide 9.2% this year, tumbling to the lowest level in at least three decades. And then Betty Bowers said, people always ask, who is the stupidest Trump? Then Eric says something and it's him. But then Don Jr. says something and it's him. Then Donald Sr. says something and it's definitely him. But then Ivanka always grabs the prize at the last minute. Wah, wah, wah. Yes. Do that again?
Do that again?
Did you make a noise?
That?
Oh. I keep talking over and all I hear is a little ding. Is that a ding?
That was a scary da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then there was that's the ding.
There's the ding.
Right. And here's the...
Ah, okay. When I spoke, it covered it, and all I heard was the end.
Ah.
All right. So Jim Sciutto, love saying his name because it sounds like something I want to eat.
Like prosciutto.
Sciutto, yes. Or Sciutto with marinara. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's with CNN, and he said, there are no... Okay, so he's talking about Biden's presser that he held today where he introduced his...
Yeah, it was great.
And he said, it was wonderful. And he said... There are no immediate family members or in-laws of the president-elect on stage right now. What?
What a concept.
And they were wearing masks. And they were distancing.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
What a concept.
Oh, my God. And they spoke truths. They said things that were true. And I'd like to comment on that, actually, because you and I were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Every single – do I have one of these comments? I do. I'm going to say it in the next, after the next one. I'll go into my my thing that I want to say. Okay, so Alexandra Jaffe, she's with AP.
Yeah.
And she tweeted this. Biden's cabinet nominees are speaking now, and each one has expressed gratitude and acknowledgement of the public servants that work at their respective departments, reflecting an awareness of the low morale they'll have to address among the federal workforce. And that brought to mind, as I listened to each one of them, that we're an abused nation that is suffering and will continue to suffer PTSD. And that it became apparent in every single speech. Every single one addressed a type of pain that people were going through or had felt or are continuing to feel, and how they're hoping to soothe that pain by being normal. And we haven't had normal in a long, long time. And as normal happens, we're going to have to keep accustoming ourselves to it. because we've become so accustomed to the abuse and cowering that people have experienced, or abuse and outrage, or abuse and sorrow. And
one of the points that Joe Biden made and others made throughout the day, throughout this announcement, the introduction of these people on his security team, is that what they said was Joe Biden, President-elect Joe Biden, told us that he wants to hear what he must hear, what he needs to hear, not what he might want to hear, but what he needs to hear.
Right.
They never mentioned Trump and the fact that, you know, what he heard was only what he wanted to hear. They would make special picture briefing books for him because he wouldn't read the actual thing. And they would only put good
macaroni,
material in there.
Macaroni and
exactly.
glitter.
Right. And all I could think of is, oh, my God, so that means when he has a cabinet meeting and they're all sitting around that table and the cameras are allowed in, they're not going to go around the table and each offer up their praise for dear leader?
Well, that's the other thing I said. Exactly. God, you and I are just like the same person today. As I was watching, I said, oh, my God, this is not a roundtable praise fest.
Yeah.
It's not where they all have to kiss his ass and say, you're the best president that ever lived and everything you're doing is awesome. And no one's ever done it before. And no one's done it like you. You're the best. Look at your hair.
Yeah. I honestly think if somebody did that in Joe Biden's room, he would start laughing because he'd know that they were trying to, you know, to do what Trump did. But yeah.
No, that's exactly right. This is what we've become accustomed to is something that is so abnormal and so painful and so excruciating and so outrageous and so maddening that our gut level reaction when you see something normal happen is, what was that?
Yeah.
That's new.
Right.
That's a new thing. It's not new. What Trump did was new. What Trump did wasn't normal.
We
should never have to have accepted it as normal. It isn't normal. It's abnormal, sicko, terrible, awful, outrageous, sick.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. So, yes, we're seeing things that we should have been seeing for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And we're no longer used to it. And that is how authoritarianism takes hold.
Well, that's it. And, you know, I told you I put up the countdown clocks on the main page at NicoleSandler.com and on the Listen Live page right below the chat room. And there it's called Countdown to Normalcy. I never aspired to be normal before in my life. I always kind of enjoyed being on the outskirts of normalcy because who wants to be normal? But now I'll take normal, please. I'll take boring and normal.
Absolutely. It's really, and it really struck me when we were watching each and every one of those new people get up and speak and saying, oh my God, thank God they're speaking like we want them to. Oh, they're going to do things that are positive. Oh my God, there's somebody who does that. Who knew they did that? That's a part of the description. Really? No, that's the norm. And we need to make it always be the norm. Okay, so here's more. This is from Annie Linsky and then from Josh Gerstein commenting. This is not the norm. This is the norm, which is too bad. But Annie Linsky is from Washington Post, and she said, Jake Sullivan pledges a, quote, humane, unquote, decision-making process at the NSC that will honor the work of top officials. And then she, in parentheses, says, kind of shocking that needs to be said. And then Josh Gerstein said, I trust the kill list process at NSC will also be infused with humanity, warmth, and just plain old heart. It's dark humor, isn't it?
It is.
Because it isn't. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We know things happen, right? There are drones and things.
Well, of course. And look, I'm not saying that under Obama things were great.
No,
they were just normal. They respected the norms that make the country sort of run like the trains run on time. They respected how things are done, none of which apparently is codified into law. I think there needs to be a commission set up who can identify exactly what needs to be laid out, what regulations, what laws need to be put in place so that a Donald Trump wannabe down the road coming in can't do the shit that he did.
Absolutely. That is exactly what I meant when I said codify the norms.
Yep.
Make them law.
Exactly.
Everything that he threw in the trash, take it out of the trash and wrap it up in a pretty bow and legalize it. Make it a law. if you break that law, there should be serious consequences. For example, like the emoluments clause.
Hello.
For example, like when somebody doesn't show up after they've been
subpoena.
Subpoenaed.
If you do, if you ignore a congressional subpoena, then put consequences on there and say what can happen, what should happen, how do you enforce it? Because the rules in the Constitution and stuff are all well and good, but if there's no enforcement procedure, then
toothless.
Exactly. So
yeah,
that all needs to be fixed.
Okay, now going on to Sidney Powell.
Oh, God.
Just the sound of her name makes us giggle.
You know, we love it when we get a new character, and you know that this will be a new Saturday Night Live character when they come back on the air.
Oh, they've got to do that.
Oh, my God.
And of course, you know, they're going to do Rudy's drip. So he's going to have, like, drips going down front of his face. He's going to have them going under his arms. He's going to have them coming out of his nose.
Uh-huh.
You know they're going to just totally overdo it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Scott Stedman, who I really like. He's an investigative journalist, and he said she lasted less than a Scaramucci. Release the Kraken, indeed. Oh my God, that whole thing was such an embarrassment.
Okay, I have to plead ignorance here because I'm hearing all these fucking Kraken jokes, and I don't get it. What is the Kraken? I don't understand.
A mythological monster.
Yeah.
Several arms or something.
I must have been absent that day or something.
She said it was her or Jenna Ellis, I think, said
she's another one.
When the team was put together, you know, the big power, what do they call themselves?
An elite
the
fighting force or something like that.
She said, "Release the Kraken."
Oh, said it. The Kraken.
Yeah.
Okay,
so they're this multi-tentacled
mythological creature.
Yeah, is going to come out and go everywhere and win and conquer and attack and, you know, was it.
I love they describe themselves as this elite force, this elite legal force, whatever the terminology they use. They use the word elite and force.
And
these are the people that held their press conference at the Four Seasons Landscaping and, you know, and had the Rudy stuff go. And they were, you know, when the mascara or shoe polish was, you know, dripping down his face.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of the Jethro Tull song lyrics, not running down his nose, but it's stuff running down his face. Anyway, that's the work of a elite fighting force, legal force. The whole thing is just so absurd. And then Donald Trump today is quoted as saying, "I think this legal team is making me look bad," but he's standing by Rudy Giuliani.
Okay. Well, Andrew Kaczynski, K-File, he had a little comment. He said, "For a clarification, the Trump campaign lawyer who said Governor Brian Kemp was bribed by a Venezuelan front company in cahoots with the CIA to throw elections to communists was released. The lawyer who said Frank Luntz had a micropenis is still on the team."
Yeah. That's hysterical. Jenna Ellis is the one who said that. Who did she say has a micropenis? Frank Luntz.
Frank Luntz.
And how does Jenna know this?
I don't want to even imagine. That can't be a picture in my head. I can't do that. That's terrible.
No, so now we have mushroom penis and micro penis.
Yeah, we have the two mini penises, right? The little mushroom and mushroomette. They're Jenna Ellis, did you and I talk about how she was on Bill Maher?
Yes,
and how awful she was.
She was like a Stepford wife who just spoke in this robotic staccato. "I'm giving you the talking points and you can say whatever you want. I don't hear you. I don't see you.
Right.
I just keep talking and saying all this bullshit and because it's what written for me and I don't care. I'm just going to keep going and going and going." Oh my God, it's exhausting.
And he let her steamroll him.
Yeah. Oh,
You know who's back? I think she's offering her services to the elite power force or whatever it is.
Ooh.
Orly Tate.
Oh, God. You know, somebody brought up her name the other day and I thought, God, I haven't heard that name in years. And she's back, really back?
Yeah.
I thought they were comparing. They were like saying that what's her name? Sydney is the new Orly. That's the reference.
She's
back.
yeah. If that's where they're going, well, That's the bottom of the barrel. That's bad. Okay, so this is a little more serious now. Okay. This is from Brandy Buckman. She's quoting Carl Bernstein, so I'll read him first.
Oh.
Carl Bernstein said, the 21 GOP senators who have privately expressed their disdain for Trump are Portman, Alexander, Sass, Blunt, Collins, Murkowski, Cornyn, Thune, Romney, Braun, Young, Tim Scott, Rick Scott, Rubio, Grassley, Burr, Toomey, McSally, Moran, Roberts, and Shelby. And Brandy Buckman said, these senators had a chance to take Trump to task, if you recall, but opted instead to call no witnesses during his impeachment and then acquit him in short order. They get no kudos. They get acknowledgement, sure. If they say something against Trump, okay, thank you. But they get no kudos. They're nothing special.
Right.
It's like Susan Collins always coming out and threatening to do the right thing and then not doing it.
Yeah. No, exactly. Sorry. You don't get credit also for just doing the right thing. I mean, that's you're doing your job. Your fucking job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That.
Yeah.
Put that on the wall and frame it.
Do your fucking job. I'll paint it.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. And see if somebody will buy it, sell it in the Senate. Lindsey Graham said, and then MTV comments, Lindsey Graham, speaking of little penises, I completely agree with Perdue and Loeffler's call for signature verification to be part of new Georgia recount requested by Trump. Okay. And Empty Wheel, Marcy Wheeler, responded, and she reminds us, can we be a little more explicit about what Lindsey and Perdue and Loeffler and Trump are trying to do here? They are trying to abolish the secret ballot, but just for a group that is predominantly Democratic.
Well, of course. And it goes even to Michigan, the recounts. They only wanted to throw out the ballots from the black areas.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to whisper.
The black areas, right.
Yeah.
That's just the black areas.
I remember
areas.
My friend's grandma always whispered, black. It's like, why are you whispering that? Why are you saying that like that? Because they're black. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, by the way, somebody in the chat room just mentioned something that I neglected to bring up, but it's an important point that today we also learned the way it was presented that I read was that Dianne Feinstein has said she's stepping down from her perch as the ranking member on the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is good because she's the one who started drooling over Lindsey Graham saying she's never been to such a great hearing before. But the way this somebody in the chat room who just wrote this and I lost it now said is, did you hear that Chucky Schmucky fired her? I don't think he fired her.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No,
I think she was
heard that she was getting attacked by progressives and she could, she was like saying, oh, you know what? I don't need this and I'm going to leave. I don't need to do this because I'm old and somebody else can do it and they can be.
They can
out,
do
guess,
it better. So. Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
Next in line is Dick Durbin, who's, but also then after him is Sheldon Whitehouse.
Whitehouse
for hopefully the Senate Judiciary Committee chair, if we win the two Georgia seats, it'll be the chair. Sheldon Whitehouse, please, Dick Durbin, step aside.
Yeah, Whitehouse is, first of all, how good was he at the hearings when he was going on and
he's
on
great.
And really did his homework and showed us how much he cared?
Yep.
He knows his stuff. He can recite things backwards and forwards. He's clear. He's aggressive and assertive
and
every
smart.
Other if you want to have. And yes, I'm for Whitehouse. 100%.
Me too.
Somebody said, bring in
Make it so.
Katie Porter. I said, Katie Porter isn't in the Senate. She's not going to be brought in.
That's right. No. And the pressure is on for Gavin Newsom to appoint an African-American woman to fill Kamala Harris's seat, which makes sense because she's the only she's only the second black woman in the U.S. Senate ever. And fill her seat. Although I hate identity politics, it should be the best person for the job.
I totally get it. But I understand completely. Yep. I think it would be a good idea.
Karen Bass. Karen Bass.
Yeah, I would, too. I love Karen Bass. I think she'd be good. Anyway, Jim Acosta said, and then, Jim Acosta said, and I have no comment, Biden transition. Former Secretary of State John Kerry will fight climate change full-time as special presidential envoy for climate and will sit on the National Security Council. Put that in big stars and big font. This marks the first time that the NSC will include an official dedicated to climate change. The reason I chose that tweet is because I want to emphasize it. He will be in the Situation Room. He will be applying climate change to all kinds of areas where people have forgotten to apply it. And this is our number one problem. And every time I'm off, I'm given a survey, like, you know, when we take our White House, our those
YouGov surveys,
they always say, what's your priority? And they give you a list. I always say climate change first because it affects everything.
It does.
So, yeah. Huh? All right. So that I have two more. That's why I'm rushing through. Mm-hmm. Craig Crawford. Okay. So
I haven't heard from him in a while.
Oh, I see him on Twitter all the time.
Oh,
he's got good tweets.
Okay.
He's good. And he once in a while will actually engage, which is nice, too, because so many people don't.
Right.
He calls himself a lapsed journalist.
Oh, okay.
He's commenting on Frumkin, who commented on Mayorkas.
Okay.
DHS, yep. The Department of...
Yep. Yeah. The new Homeland Security.
Frumkin said he arrived in this country as a refugee. Take that, Stephen Miller. And then Craig Crawford said, take this, Florida Cubans who bought Trump's garbage. Biden picks Alejandro Mayorkas to lead the Homeland Security Department, an Obama administration alumnus who immigrated to the U.S. from Cuba as a baby, developed and shepherded DACA. So there.
Yeah.
That's major. That is. I love his resume.
Yep. No, it's true. And again, it's a name that I wasn't familiar with, but
no,
you look
either.
At the resume and good. It's not somebody who's out there, you know, tooting his own horn.
Exactly.
It's somebody doing the work.
What a good point. Wait, make that point again. That's such a good point. He's not a TV person.
Right. You know, hey, these are not people who, who you know, the president-elect saw on television, so thinks they're an expert because, oh my God, they're on TV.
Oh my God, remember the elevator trips? Remember that you go to the
Trump Tower.
Lobby of Trump Towers and you'd have to go to the elevator and be escorted in, and it was a big game show and they got finalists and all that. Mm-hmm. That was horrible.
That was horrible.
That is not how we do things.
No, that's why we have a stage. And Joe Biden, there we are. There's Joe.
He still looks like he's at a TV table watching us on TV.
But that's how he does these things. For those of you who aren't watching video, I have they do like a show card each day, like a cover picture. And we have Joe Biden seated behind his little desk. It says Office of the President-elect on top. And he's looking at the two of us, Laffy and me, on the screen. But that's how he does his, you know, his things. Yeah. That's how he does it. So
he's professional and he's very organized. And he's everything I'm hearing about all of this is how professional, organized, and prepared, and how they know these departments.
Can I tell you the other thing that I heard that's really important is all these people that he's named to these positions, he knows them all personally.
Yes.
He has worked with them in their professional capacity. So you remember, you know, Donald Trump picks, what's his name, from Exxon as his first Secretary of State. Yeah. Didn't know the guy, just thought, oh, he was the, you know, the CEO of Exxon. He's got to know what he's doing. No.
Central casting.
Right. And that's how he picked people because, the Kudlow and all those morons who are on television, Atlas, because they're on TV, he thinks they're credible. It shows you how twisted.
Oh, it's twisted. Here's one from LOL GOP, my last one. Oh, the day. Shows how broken our democracy is that we have to celebrate Republicans not stopping the certification of an election their candidate lost by six figures. I mean, really?
Yeah.
We're having to, like, give big kudos and applause to these Republicans. Like, yesterday, I watched almost the whole certification process in Michigan.
Yeah.
The board of canvassers.
I watched some of that too, and wow.
Wow is right. But I mean, for us to have to applaud that one skinny guy who was a Republican who came out of me, you know, and said, I'm voting for the Democrats.
Yeah. It all rode on him because the other guy didn't vote. He abstained.
Right, but do we have to applaud this?
No, we shouldn't have to. But unfortunately, we do. Because you still have this moron who tweets out, today, I concede nothing.
Yeah, what a jerk.
This is literal face palm.
Go away. And he's just trying to get money from his supporters anyway. So
56 days. 56 days, 18 hours, 9 minutes, and no seconds.
I have to refresh my page to see that. I'm at 56 days, 18 hours, 13 minutes, 31 seconds.
I got 8 minutes, so, you know, I like mine better.
I do, too.
All right. Well, this is it. Tomorrow, we'll be here as usual. In fact, I'm doing a doubleheader. I'm in for Brad again tomorrow. But we have Ari Berman. We have Adam Green. We have news. We have stuff. I don't know what's going to happen. And then Thursday, I'm going to do a special Thanksgiving music show from 5 to 6. All songs about gratitude and Thanksgiving themed. I think Arler Guthrie might have to make an appearance because you have to have Alice's Restaurant Massacre on Thanksgiving. So we'll take care of that too. And I don't know what we'll do Friday, but something. So that's it. Laffy, have a wonderful Thanksgiving and I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.